Vaikam sang paro dharmo, yato bhaktir hokshaje, ahaitu kya pratihata, yayatma suprasidati. Translation by His Divine Grace, Hesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity, is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Translation by his, with repetition. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity. Is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service. Unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated. And uninterrupted. To completely satisfy the self. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Shisuta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages ask him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marga, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries. And temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal blissful and all fitness in life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction in the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for the ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in a diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, in other words, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruit of action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of all living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendent loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, 6th Verse, in the matter of divinity and divine service, spoken at the Govinda Valley, Oxford, New South Wales, near Sydney, on this day before Krishna's Janmashtami, 2007, September 3rd, Kristabdo, or this is Gorabdo 521. Translation again, the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the soul. So the sages are gathered together at Nainisharanya. You heard about Nainisharanya? When the universe was being designed by Brahma, so he designed the entire universe as a gigantic wheel or chakra, and he put the hub of the wheel in Nainisharanya, just to somehow dispel at that point. Then he was designing the whole universe, maybe solar system. But so then so it says that in Nainisharanya, if we perform spiritual activities, sacrifices, because that's the design key point for the universe, then the entire universe becomes affected by that. Or in other words, gets spiritualized. So the sages are there to do a 1,000-year sacrifice of reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna, to help to spiritualize the universe. This is their sacrifice. They want to see the universe benefit spiritually. In Mayapur Dham, we also have a manifestation of Nainisharanya. In the island of Madhyadweep, there's 9 islands: Shimantadip, Gautamdip, Mantadip, Koladip, Vitudip, Janudip, Madhudamdip, Rududip, Andhudip, Navadip, Dham. So Shimantadip, Shimantadip, Gautamdip, Madhyadip. Madhyadip has this Nainisharanya. So every year when we go on the Prikram there, we have the devotees chant this and other prayers, other mantras, so that Hare Krishna also, so that we can give some spiritual boost to the whole universe. So these sages are actually very much well-wishers for all of the conditioned souls to actually work for the spiritual upliftment of others. They're very special souls. Mostly people are just worrying about their own personal interest. To make such a huge sacrifice for the upliftment of the whole universe, pretty much unheard of. So they want to find out what is the highest occupation, what's the supreme dharma, what's the occupational duty of the human beings. So Sutta Goswami, then he describes this verse that Krishna bhakti, devotional service, is the supreme occupational duty. So in almost all the scriptures, there's always this pravritti marg and nirvritti marg. Pravritti marg is in things like, for instance, in the Vedas it says you can eat meat if you sacrifice a goat to Kali. But many other places it's better not to eat meat. But there are some people who want to eat meat, so they give some scope, they can do it and produce less of a problem. Instead of having huge size slaughterhouses, they have this once a month the sacrifice of the goat. So these kind of facilities to do things which you're not supposed to do, but anyway they give you that facility to do it under some regulations or some procedures, that this can usually consider the pravritti mark, path of enjoyment. When Lord Chaitanya was talking to Chankasi, then the Chankasi said, why do you Lord Chaitanya said, why do you kill the cow? Cow and the bull are like our mother and father. Cow gives us milk and the bull plows the field. Then the Chankasi said that, well, in your Vedas you also have the cow and the horse sacrifice, Gomed, Ashwamedh. The Lord Chaitanya said, well, those were to prove the efficacy of the Vedic mantras. They take an old horse and sacrifice it, and then with mantra bring it back to life, so that although you're not killing, because you're bringing back to life, you're resuscitating. Do that with mantras, so it would prove to everyone that how powerful the mantras work. But in this age, because those type of mantras people are not able to chant properly in Kali Yuga, so those type of sacrifices have been banned, have been prohibited. So we don't do Ashwamedh or Gomedh anymore in this age, because maybe they can't bring back the animal to life, and then it's a big mess, right? So then finally that the Chankasi admitted, well, in our Islamic religion, that there are these two aspects of pravritti marg and nirvritti marg, but most of the imams, they only know about the pravritti marg and they don't know about the nirvritti marg. So this, if you analyze that, there's some where the primary purpose of that particular path is to take us to Krishna, to develop our love for Godhead, where the other aspect is simply to allow us to perform materialistic activities without somehow contracting the bad karma for that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his followers were very focused that they want to do devotional service. In fact, one of the acharyas, he prayed that I don't want to do any sin, I don't want to do any pious activity, I simply want to serve Krishna, Radha Govinda, in loving devotion. So rather than recounting the karmas, he was just wanted to be in the transcendental platform. So that's basically what the devotional service is all about. That we're directly serving the Lord in love, loving devotion, and he also reciprocates with that. Prabhupada once said, everybody's looking for a friend in this world, looking for someone to exchange some loving relation. And he said, well, some people, man is looking sometimes in a woman's looking in a man, or maybe a man in a man, or a woman in a woman, but so everybody's looking for some kind of friend. Well, actually, the supreme friend that we're looking for is really Krishna. And if we initiate this relationship that we are offering Krishna some devotional service, we're offering him some selfless service, then Krishna reciprocates with that. If you're offering a service for some material exchange, then it becomes more like a business deal. Just like if somebody works and they're simply working for the salary, and it's a business. So they're working because actually they feel committed to doing what they're doing, or they feel committed that it's a good service, or something helpful for mankind, and it's a totally different situation. So in devotional service, we do the services because we want to please Krishna. Because of that, the services become a loving devotional service, and that's part of the Nivritti Mark. What's amazing is that normally when we think of Nivritti Mark, we'll probably think of some very austere sacrifice like this, and they say his name is Shrani, 1,000 years of sitting there and hearing the classes. But then in devotional service we are able to exchange our, it's actually a very blissfully performed process. So that's why the Govinda Das, he wrote a song to Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. Parama karuna prabhu dvijana nithai gaura chandra sabhe avataro sarasiramani kevala nanda kanda sabhe avataro sarasiramani kevala nanda kanda parama karuna prabhu dvijana nithai gaura chandra. Nithai gaura chandra, they're parama karuna, they're supremely merciful. These two lords have descended from the spiritual sky. They are the, and amongst all the avatars who have descended from the spiritual sky, they're the best. They're the crown jewels. Saro Sira Muni. Sira means head. Muni means jewel. The Sira Muni means crown jewel. And Sara means the best of the crown jewels. So, because so many different avatars who gave different processes and different paths, which are quite austere, but the path given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Keval Ananda Kanda, simply not blissfully performed. We don't have to, it's not a very extremely austere process. We're just offering our loving service to Krishna. Singing, dancing, taking prasadam, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna. Very blissful aspect of spiritual life. Not that we have to go into some forest and do some extreme kinds of yoga. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, and I was attempting to practice Hatha yoga, and anything I do I usually try to really throw myself into it. So then I read that there was to get yourself detached from the body, you should go in the Himalaya mountains and the ice freezing water of the streams and the coldest day in the winter, and you should sit in the water and meditate, generate heat from your yoga shakti, and the hottest day of the year you should go and in the sun with the sun overhead and put 4 bonfires on the 4 sides and meditate to be able to sustain the heat, to detach yourself. If you do Ashtanga yoga, apparently there's this kind of option. I don't think any of your guests are doing that. You can sit in that river here. But there are this kind of very austere processes of yoga to detach one from the body, where Lord Chaitanya didn't give this kind of very difficult process. This process is very blissfully performed. And here also Prabhupada is mentioning that we should be free of all material desires. I was studying in Sydney Temple, Someone asks about this. What happens if we're not completely free from all material desires? What's going to happen to us? So, I remember when I was in 1968 hearing one of Prabhupada's lectures, he was also preaching like this, 10% Krishna conscious. And the devotees are feeling a little bit stressed out that it's a pretty tall order to have 10%. I mean, there's a few little desires to get in there here and there. So then Prabhupada, after finishing the class, you know, everyone was just like silent. It was like a state of shock, you know. 10%. Then Prabhupada said, well, even 90%. Maybe 90% free. That's all right. Then the official will still take you. That time he had a pulpit kind of a asana. We didn't know really how to build the asana, so we copied a Christian asana. It was very high up, and he had stairs going down maybe 5 or 6 feet, I don't know, 6 feet, maybe five feet high. So Prabhupada was getting down the stairway and looked to the devotee and said, even 80%. Krishna will take you. So there's a slight bit of relief, but 80% maybe that some people still think is pretty tall. Then Prabhupada got off that stairway and was starting to head towards the door. I looked back, he had his chatter kind of trailing on the ground, and he said, even 70% Krishna will take you. And then he threw his chatter over his shoulder and walked off with his head high in the air. Never forget that. Maybe someone can get even with less percent, but Prabhupada said 70%, and you got your ticket, no problem. Of course, to get 70, you may try for 100, but maybe not 100% in all the aspects. As we develop our taste for Krishna service, then naturally that kind of loving reciprocation increases. Then the things that whatever we do, the idea is we don't want to do things that are not connected to Krishna. So we do things according to Krishna's instructions, according to his guidelines. And this way, we get protected from any kind of karma, vikarma. We're going to stop from our karma of not having any reactions. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma Bhuta, for life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material life is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. We want to be under the direct protection of Krishna all the time, so we need to just consciously surrender to Krishna. So some of you go before Krishna and pray that Krishna, I surrender unto you. And we consciously try to serve Krishna. And then Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. Sometimes devotees see dreams of Krishna or the Guru. Or sometimes they may feel out of spiritual bliss. Different kinds of reciprocation. As I see in many different ways, Krishna engaging in my personal life, engaging me in his service, but using me as an instrument. One time I was booked to fly to Bangkok from Calcutta by Thai Airways, and I had a booking in the business class. But somehow Thai Airways said that they lost my booking, and they're very sorry. They gave me a partial refund, but they could only take me in economy. Why is all these things happening in the airline? You know? Anyway, okay. Then I was in the back seat, in the back in the economy, and then sitting in the aisle seat. And as we were taking off, I looked over. There was a young man with short hair, and he had neck beads on, wearing a shirt and pants. In those days, you know, everybody wears neck beads, quite common. Yeah, you don't know what group it could be, but that time it was pretty rare. So I said, "Hari Bol." I'm thinking maybe he's a devotee, and then he looked at me, "Hari Bol Maharaj." "What's happening?" And he said, I was trying to escape to the material world. But now you're here next to me. So well, if I get bumped off into another seat, I just take it. Okay, I don't know what this has done. But so I talked to him, and then I brought him to Malaysia, a little bit safer place than Bangkok. And he was serving for a while. Well, he had so many different things. Sometimes he give a class, and then at the end, Maharaj, why were you talking about me during class? And, you don't know anybody from Adam, you know, you don't know Adam. Somehow they thought you were exactly talking to them. Well, it happened to other devotees also. Sometimes they think you got on my case during class. Who told you about my problem? So like that, then you can see that Krishna uses us as an instrument in different ways. So it's actually quite exciting to be serving Krishna, because just like Arjuna, he was serving Krishna in the battlefield, and Krishna told him, be an instrument in my hands, via media. But I'll use you as a tool, I'll use you as an instrument, work through you. And in that way we can also be able to bring people to Krishna. When in Mayapur, because we are at a holy dawn pilgrimage place, and many, even in the year, there'll be maybe over a million people who come through there. Especially during the before our festival, Gaur Purnima, then try to tell all the devotees that we want. Then that they're all representing Radha Madhava and Panchatattva, that they have to take care of all the visitors who are coming, all the pilgrims, that this is our service, is to serve the visiting devotees, visiting pilgrims, and this can make a big impact on their lives. So the devotees take it up pretty seriously, most of them, and there's always a few that and I get into the mood, but generally I would say that they're very enthusiastic, and people then appreciate when they ride there. We give out sheets. People say how they like the visit, what could be improved. It's a sneaky way to get people's contact addresses also. Would you like to get some information or something? You can put their name and address or email, and then that way discreetly, you can get their contact details without maybe freaking out the sponsoring groups that come here. But you don't get a lot of contacts that way. Send them information about Mayapur. But most of them, they do praise that the devotees, when they serve prasadam or when they're interacting with the devotees, it has a very big impact on them. And how the enthusiastic service attitude is leaves a deep impression, even on our ISKCON devotees, who are supposed to anyway be a service attitude, but they also appreciate the devotees in Mayapur's service attitude. This Govinda Valley is again also kind of creating a place of pilgrimage. Actually, maybe you should get Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj when they give you 12 Shaligram Shilas. So wherever you have 12 Shaligram Shilas, it becomes a Tirtha. Then it would be it's a Tirtha because you're chanting and your devotees are here, but there are some statements like that in the Puranas. If you have where there's a deity present, and that's also a worshipable deity, then that also becomes a place of pilgrimage or the Shali grounds. And this way, you take it that we're representing Krishna, they're coming to Krishna's place. Just like Jai Vijay, they gave a kind of harsh reception to the four Kumaras. So then Krishna himself came and apologized to the four Kumaras that my representatives didn't receive you properly. And I'm very sorry. They were moved that here the Supreme Lord himself came and he was apologizing for the harsh reception. So then they bow down to Narayana. Four Kumaras were practicing yoga and they had a realization in their personal Brahman. So they were very peaceful. They're realizing the light. But when they bowed down to Narayana's lotus feet, then he had a tulsi offered to his lotus feet. And they smelled that aroma of the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then their hair stood on end. Their voice got choked up. Tears started to flow from their eyes. They started to feel ecstasy. Then immediately they were converted to becoming bhakti yogis in 1 second. Because up to that point they had peace, they had equilibrium, they had the spiritual compassion on everyone to a certain degree, but when they bow down to Krishna, his incarnations, avatars, Narayana, then it moved their heart so much that they realized this is a much higher experience than whatever I've been realizing in the impersonal path. So after that they became devoted to Narayana. And they became devotees. Padmashi, bienvenida. Aquí hay traducción. Ese lado. So my, sometimes, you know, it's like I was asking an air hostess. She's actually a devotee that's kind of aspiring devotee that's working as an air stewardess, hostess, whatever you call it, attending. She was saying that sometimes when you're dealing with the customers, like sometimes they call them as guests, like in India they have one airline called the Kingfisher, and he said, we don't call the passengers as clients, so we call them as our guests. We want them to be treated as if they're guests of my home. The managing director, chairman, he gives a little video clip, and I want you all to feel as if you're a personal guest in my house. I want you to feel, you know, very much at home in my in this airplane. And then they give out little papers that you can give your opinion, and if you recommend one of the staff as a very good representative of the corporate, whatever their mission is, they're dealing with the guests, they get some kind of a perk for that. So that is the, that airline is really gives a pretty good service. They have people greet you at the curb and carry your bags in. It's like really, really rare. It's pretty rare. If you want to go,
it's an Indian airline.
It's an Indian airline. It's got all kinds of Asian awards. It's called Kingfisher. The owner is the biggest brewery owner and distillery owner in India. So maybe he's just advertising. He's not allowed to advertise alcohol in India. So he just, Kingfisher is the name of his beer though. And at the bottom it says Kingfisher for the good times. Won't you have a good time? He doesn't mention anything. So the same mark he's advertising as an airline. I don't know if it's, you know, unmotivated pure bhakti. But they do treat you nice as a guest, they call you. They have a nice, but it's difficult because sometimes your clients, your guests are very demanding. Like in my apartment, so one time we served somebody a really nice meal, like a 4-course, 5-course meal with rice and chapatis and sabjis and sweet. But this person, you know, said, "What is this? I'm a meat eater! I eat flesh! I eat meat! When I want to eat vegetarian, I want to eat really opulent vegetarian. I want pakoras, I want samosa, I want fried things, I want halva. I'm a meat eater! What do you think? I'm going to just eat ordinary vegetarian food? I'm a meat eater!" I kept shoving a meat eater, I'm kidding. Wow, you know, but I thought he's going to start ripping the blood out, so I'm like, "Jesus, I'm a meat eater!" So we have to, you know, okay, sir, we can order a la carte to Japan, no more, of course. Sometimes you get, it's a Bengali guy, you know. So, get all kinds of people. Maybe that's one in a million. I've never had anybody else shouting at me, "I'm a meat eater! I want, you know, opulent vegetarian food." But you get, you know, sometimes funny people. So, who are the guests there? Now they have, in those days we just had one option. Now we have like half a dozen options. You can get special, a big meal in the gutter kitchen. You can get a special super meal at the Lourdes building. You can go to the restaurant and order a la carte. You can go to the Bhaktivedanta Academy with the Navina Nirada, the Swiss devotees there. They'll give you like a very holistic kind of a meal. And so you got all kinds of options now, but those were like, for 20 years ago, we just had the one option. So he wasn't happy with that. So what can you do? But we learned over the years, give people the options they want. We have the vegetarian ice cream or something for the bodies. Well, they want that. You know, I don't know if it's good for you, but so try to, especially on the when they go back to my airport, then they have all these in the festival. They have so many options: pizza parlors, a half a dozen pizza parlors, and so many things. But when we're on Parikrama, then it's pretty much. And we get people, of course, in Parikrama, pretty dedicated. People are walking for 12 miles or 12 kilometers or 6 kilometers in a day. And by the time they get back, they're really hungry. They probably could serve anything they need. Love it, but they actually cook a very nice meal for the Parikrama people. And they appreciate it. And I think I make a special. I go around and I ask everybody if they're all right, if they need anything. And so they also appreciate that. Sometimes they write in their comment sheets, "Really liked it that Jagannatha Swami came around and asked us how we were doing." So I appreciate that the devotees are serving. So we try to see that the devotees are all comfortable. Some of the devotees stay overnight in the camps, and maybe about a 25% go back by bus and sleep at the main ashram in their beds. So not everybody's into camping out. So then we try to give people different options, so that because some of the things we do are fairly austere. So this way, devotees take it out as part of their mission to serve the people who are actually Krishna's guests. They're coming to serve, to seek in Krishna's temple, Krishna's place, so they're Krishna's guests. So our caring for the guests is actually our service to Krishna. That's how Krishna here appreciates. And they may take it, if we don't treat the guests nicely, then maybe the impression about Krishna would also be affected. So one thing I see, you know, that if Krishna gives us protection. So maybe here there's a corporate policy not to wear tilak, but it's good. I don't know if you put tilak with water in the mantras. You give yourself the protection of the mantras. Because we're generally controlled by the astrological influences according to our karmas. So the idea is putting on the dwadas, urdhva, pundra, is to put ourselves under the protection of Krishna. So that rather than our being like a puppet being pulled by our karmic influences from the past. So I always tell the devotees that they work outside when they don't put on the tilak with the water and the mantras. Sometimes some devotees, even when they wear tilak, they just put it on their forehead, they don't put it on the other parts. And that's also, you're not getting the full protection. So the whole process of bhakti yoga is we make our body like a temple, and we put ourselves under Krishna's protection. In the yoga system, they have this mystical, I remember there was this one process where you meditated on little kind of mystical soldiers, created a whole soldier barricade around your body, kind of a kavach, and empowered them with mantras. What's the kind of, I was really into it, you know, before I came to Krishna, I was like, all these. I was gonna cut the skin in my tongue so that I could use the tongue to block the nostril for doing the pranayama rather than having to use your hand. So you could really go deep into the So it was just about at that point when I met the devotees. So I remember this one devotee, I think it was Upendra, gave me his beads and told me to go out and chant on the beads. So I went into the park, and then I was chanting. I went in those days, I could sit in the full lotus position. So I sat, and I was in the lotus, I was chanting with these beads, and looking at a tree, just chanting. I chanted for 6 hours non-stop, 32 rounds, first day. And that was my first experience of japa. So I was feeling so much ecstasy, I just couldn't, it was amazing. I never experienced anything like that. And it was really intense. So it was already the first day I was convinced that this is the most powerful meditation I was going to cross. Hands out. And I came back and I said, oh, my story, by mistake I gave you Prabhupada's chanting beads. I'd take those back. Wasn't quite the same the next day, but I got the super surcharged beads. So I went to this one temple, not an Iskcon temple, just some Hindu temple, and they had this gigantic japamala. It was 1,008 beads. And then it would have like a whole group would sit around and be chanting. They go around, they pass it around. The bead was so big, it was interesting. Kind of a group. Group mala. So it was. I only saw that one place. So. Let me hear about like different pastimes of the different deities. And they say that Hanuman is can remove all kinds of obstacles from the devotee's path. That. His special day of puja, I think, is Tuesday. They were saying how usually on Saturday people do Sunny Puja because Saturday in Sanskrit is called Sunny Bar, is the day of Saturn. So Saturday is like a day where things could go wrong, or Saturn puts kind of malefic influences if you don't appease them. So then some people would do like all this worship this day, worship Saturn, another day. So they're trying to counteract. But then there was one devotee that who simply he worshipped Hanuman, gave him bananas and chanted Jai Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, put pleasure, they worshipped Hanuman. And then after that, it counteracted Sunny and everything else. He didn't have to do anything. So you have all these different kinds of, there's probably more Hanuman temples in India than any other temple. He's very simple to worship. But only thing they say, Hanuman, since he's a lifelong brahmachari, people want to get married may not be a good. There's all these, you know, like superstitions. You don't know what whether it has any bearing or not for people. You go sometimes into in South India, go in their Indian's home, and then they take the flute out from Krishna. They don't give him the flute. They say, why don't you give Krishna the flute? And then they say that, well, we're afraid that if he has the flute, they'll play it and somehow attract everybody away from material life, and they'll be all like too spiritual or something. So you don't give them the flute in the house. So you go and have all these different kinds of beliefs, what's actually shastric or what's, you know, we put the flute with this. We like them to draw us out from the material suffering and be able to develop our natural love for Krishna. But the one thing is that to be sensitive about other devotees, to treat devotees very nicely. But there is a story or pastime of that well, this again is something that I heard, didn't read all the works of the Goswamis, but there's a one day who was at some one of the Goswamis was reading his reading about Krishna's pastimes, and he was laughing in ecstasy. Just at that time there was a devotee who walked by who was crippled. He was, I mean, what's the, materially challenged, I mean, what's the politically correct thing to say, handicapped? No, they don't even say handicapped.
Disabled.
Okay, but they have now in America, you can't get to say, I think it's physically challenged. Anyway, you get the idea. He was having some physical problem. He suddenly heard the Goswami laughing, and he thought that the Goswami was laughing at him, because he was. He thought, how is it possible such a Goswami is laughing at me? I never expected this from such a pure devotee. So then he was. Then after that, immediately the Goswami lost his taste. According to this pastime, he lost his taste, and he asked Anandan Goswami, what happened? I'm not getting any taste anymore for my chanting, for my reading. So maybe you must have offended someone. I don't know if I offended anybody. He said, invite everybody over for some special, there's a holiday coming up, invite everybody for a special feast program. And then see, if somebody doesn't show up, then you know that he's feeling offended. So he invited, had a big festival, invited everybody. But this one handicapped, the boy didn't come. He said, he must feel offended, otherwise didn't he come. So then he went and spoke to that devotee, what happened, how did I, feeling offended by me? And then he said, well, I was walking by that day and you laughed at me. I said, Prabhu, I never laughed at you, I didn't even know you were there. I was reading about Krishna's childhood pastimes and I just started laughing in ecstasy. But I never wanted to, I would certainly not laugh at you, otherwise you were not the body anyway, and you're such a wonderful devotee. Please forgive me if somehow you felt like that. And he paid his obeisance. Then that handicapped devotee felt so bad that why I doubted the Goswami, I thought he was laughing at me, that he paid obeisances. And because he was also committing an offense, so he also lost his taste. So they give this kind of example that we should be careful. Sometimes we take other devotees for granted, or we don't really understand how dear everybody is to Krishna. And so we might actually not be sensitive that how we deal with our devotees also is very important. That all these things make a big difference. Sometimes people may treat others very nicely, but then amongst the devotees they tend to be a little harsh and don't take it. So we have to be careful, especially for the devotees. Prabhupada once was saying how he was very concerned. He said, my dear God brothers, in the presence of my guru, they are very respectful to each other. But after my guru left, they fought with each other and they divided the Gaudiya Math. But my disciples, they're even offensive to each other in my presence. They're very harsh sometimes. So what are they going to do after I leave? That's what he said, such famous things like, you can show how much you love me by how well you cooperate. He really wanted the devotees to cooperate with each other and treat each other nicely. And like once when I was in Montreal, when Prabhupada had just left, somehow I stepped on a nail and my foot got infected. And I was kind of glad I get this letter. I mean, most days there were no email. Writing a letter was a whole thing you have to do, like write it, put an envelope and mail it. I got this letter from Srila Prabhupada. Said, I heard that you injured your foot. You know, you've given your body to Krishna, so please be careful to maintain it nicely, and I'm concerned that, you know, for your health, you please see that your health gets take care of it properly. So he said, I mean, I'll see there in folio, but he wrote this letter, you know, just out of the sky blue, without it. I mean, I didn't even mention that I had. Somehow somebody told him, and then he wrote a letter. So like Prabhupada was so caring, just for even a little thing. What to speak of if somebody was really sick, or Prabhupada would also be very concerned, right, about encouraging others. Sometimes the devotees are not always so personal in their dealings. And one Prabhupada said that actually Krishna conscious were hyper, we use the word hyper personalist or something like that. Something I remember, I don't know if it's exactly that word, but something like extremely personalist, but like hyper or some catchy word like that. No, hyper was the word it was. But we want to deal with each other very personally and. People in this modern society, people tend to be very impersonal and mechanical in their dealings. So even like when you go like to some airlines, there are some airlines which are good, like Singapore Airlines is pretty good generally speaking when you fly with them. I think Malaysia is trying to compete now, they're getting pretty good also, but sometimes, you know, on the flight, I was impressed. Sometimes had a hard customer or drunk or something, and the guy was pretty patient, dealt with him. And just but when you meet the same people, they're sometimes you're waiting for the luggage. Or, they're off duty, you know. They're totally cold, and you know. Once they're out of the plane, it's like then it's like they're not the same though. They could care less about you. The duty's over. Well, they're at least they're trained. Okay, they smile, but it's just their corporate thing. But actually, feel about people is really. It actually has an impact on people when we are giving them Krishna. Even just even though we can't directly give Krishna, but we're giving them just a nice behavior, then somehow they appreciate, and that can bring them closer to Krishna. So I try to imbibe that mood in the devotees of Mayapur, that that's our special dharma is to serve. They're living in a pilgrimage place. People come there, and so it's our opportunity to touch their heart and make them get closer to Krishna by receiving them nicely. Of course, we have so many devotees visiting and so many devotees on the reception team that it's hard to bat 100%, but we try to do the best we can. And sometimes, in spite of mentioning so many times, don't leave your valuables in the toilet. Devotees who got these money pouches and stuff, so leave it in the toilet. Oh, and we have to, you know, sometimes they disappear. We know, why do you leave your money belt? What's the point of wearing a money belt? You take it off and leave it in the toilet. So there's always this kind of. One time somebody lost his money and his valuable camera, and we suspected one person as having done it, and he didn't have anything on him, so he was vehemently protesting his innocence. So somehow I walked around the building. And then the back of the building in the Lotus building by the water pump, I saw there was a leaf, a grass leaf, under the earth. The leaves don't grow under, you know, they don't grow like grow under the earth. So then I had somebody dig it up there, and there we found the camera and the money. Some kind of a mystical thing that Krishna led right to that. I couldn't believe it. No, this could be anywhere in my persona. Right there, saw the leap into the earth, and within 10 minutes, is that? Like, shit. Anyway, sometimes these things happen. So, we had people come to Mayapur who were thieves, and they wanted to join the temple, but they did were like con artists. Somehow, you know, they never get a taste. Later on, we find out that they're professional con artists that came to the temple too. So, Ahitukyapatiyata, that a devotional service should be unbroken and should be unmotivated. Unmotivated means we're just straightforward with Krishna. We don't have some alternative. Maybe we have some desire. So we even try to dovetail whatever desires we have in a way that Krishna will be pleased, not to do it in an unauthorized way. You know, while we're in the material world, it's obvious that there's going to be some material sense gratification. It's just like, I remember one time I met this one devotee, and he took 17 ice creams. And I said, Prabhu, you know, what are you doing? Because he was supposed to be like in a renounced. No, when I take the ice cream, I'm not enjoying it at all. But yeah, detached way, I think. Anyway, he didn't maintain his renounced status. But we're supposed to be very straightforward. We take, or whatever, even if we like something, somebody may like, we take and offer to Krishna. We take the prasad. We appreciate that Krishna has tasted that. We take the prasad. We don't try to be like artificial. Try to do the things in such a way that they dovetail with Krishna. Maybe initially we like one prasad better than another, so we tend to offer a particular kind of prasad to Krishna. But at least we're dovetailing, and then eventually we may become so much so detached that we don't mind whatever prasad. I remember when I was pujari in the temple in Montreal, and Sunday feast, I prepared a huge feast, 26 preparations. Then, because we got so many vegetables and fruits donated by that, we go to the wholesale market and they just give us boxes of ripe fruits that were going to be too ripe to sell. So I cooked six kinds of, I didn't know how to cook so many things. I could cook chutney, and I could cook halva, and I cooked two sabjis. So we cooked six different kinds of fruit chutneys. Or halvas, apple halva, blueberry halva, you know. Whatever I knew, you know, but we had all these ingredients. So. But it was a big yagya, preparing all the preparations, and then I took Ran and had someone make up the offering plate. Ran took a shower because I was cook, I was pujari, I was temple president, we only had four devotees in the temple, so I was most of the things. And then, remember when I was walking down in Montreal, it was like a bowling alley that we converted into a temple, so it had these long wooden alleys, and then in between where the gutters were, they would fill it up with linoleum, so it was really funny looking temple with the bowling alleys and the linoleum in between. Anyway, I remember I was walking into the Jagannath Balabhai Subhadra, I feel so blissful when I'm walking with that plate. I really feel a very intense spiritual bliss offering, bringing that offering, which was like a non-stop yagya. Sometimes you do a, like it says, a pratiya, they completely absorbed, like at least from the morning until the lunch. I was completely absorbed in cooking and doing all the services, and there wasn't any, it was just a total absorption. By the time when I was bringing that offering, it wasn't the food the only one, it was the whole effort, the whole yagya, the whole service. But somehow I just felt so blissful, like it was inexplicable, the happiness I was feeling, that Krishna was pleased by that kind of service. So this is mentioned here. We should try to offer continual service, uninterrupted. And this way Krishna superseded, he will make us completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. Superseded. Super satisfied. Supa. In Australia they don't pronounce the R. It's a supa. Supa satisfied. So how many here want to be supa satisfied?
Yes.
Rivo.